Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
In a week where so much has happened, one man stands alone, poised to tackle it all and take your calls. Armed with just his wit and a stack of stats, he embarks on a quest that will require 4 hours of intense concentration, telephonic communication, and the mockery of jockery. This is the Robin Lundberg Show.
It is the Robin Lundberg Show, coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. When you need an expert to help navigate the home loan process, Rocket can. Been talking about Major League Baseball and the seeming threat, I guess, if you will, warning, whatever word you want to use, from Rob Manfred about the season shutting down, telling the union, the players union, that is, that the season is at risk if they don't shape up. It's just a weird thing for the commissioner of the sport to be passing the buck. But the theme I've been using is shared responsibility. This is a shared responsibility amongst Major League Baseball. And maybe they were never going to be able to succeed playing outside of a bubble, given the number of cases in so many of the places that they're playing, given the amount of travel that they have. Maybe that was never going to happen. But if you are going to attempt to do it, you have to take it seriously. That is on the players, right? It's just a strange thing for the commissioner of the sport to be saying, because ultimately, no matter what happens, no matter what the details are, he is the one that will get the bulk of the success and the bulk of the failure if things don't work out. Especially when you're going to have a direct, comparison right in front of you and how they made things happen. I'm looking at the Rockets-Mavs highlights right now. Combined 80 points for James Harden and Russell Westbrook last night. Their most points ever as teammates. And the NBA is up and running smoothly, well-received, good games, no real concern at this moment, while Major League Baseball is apparently telling their TV partners to consider alternate programming as soon as next week. 855-212-4227, 855-212-4227. How worried are you about the Major League Baseball season? What does it make you think about the NFL? 855-212-4227. If you want to talk some NBA, that's on the table, of course, as well. I'm always game for that. I've enjoyed the games thus far. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, sponsored by Geico. Did you know that right now Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and policies? That's on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Visit geico.com to learn more. It is wild to see so many baseball teams just didn't play last night. Looking at the scoreboard, Marlins, Nationals postponed, Phillies, Blue Jays postponed, Cardinals, Brewers postponed. And in a normal world, you might look at that and go, man, there's a lot of rain. Yeah, a bunch of rain across the country. But no, it was for COVID-19 reasons. Meanwhile, other games were played. The Yankees played, Mets played, they lost. Orioles and Rays, White Sox and Royals, Padres. It's just weird to see all those other games played. The Astros won over the Angels, and the other ones postponed. But that's the dilemma that is facing Major League Baseball. And again, I think a lot of people's minds then go to the NFL. And the NFL, how they handle it, I'm really curious. I'm really curious to see, because they've had the most time, right? The NFL has essentially been able to proceed business as usual and almost ignore this whole thing in front of us. Because, you know, if it had happened a month earlier, there'd have been no Super Bowl. There'd be no J-Lo, no Shakira, no Patrick Mahomes winning his first Super Bowl. None of that stuff would have happened. But it happened a month later, so they were still able to have free agency, of course, because it doesn't impact free agency. And Tom Brady goes to the Buccaneers, so there's so much reaction to that. Then they were able to do their draft virtually. We know how big a deal the NFL draft is on an annual basis. Then they were, you know, put out the schedule, like, nothing's wrong, here's the schedule. Cam Newton goes to the Patriots, so on and so forth. I mean, their training camps have been impacted, and the preseason, obviously, is off. But for the most part, NFL fans haven't felt this when it comes to that sport. And I just wonder how that's going to all unfold. I mean, I know there are certain concerns. I talked to Damora Smith, who runs the Players Union, obviously, and he said that they face some challenges that other sports don't. Roster size, again, the nature of the sport, but also like higher BMIs from certain players. And that's why you're seeing, you know, individuals make decisions not necessarily because of higher BMIs. They're making decisions for a various number of reasons as to why they're not going to play this upcoming season. But, you know, how this unfolds in Major League Baseball will no doubt have an impact. The MLB has to be watching it and watching it fairly closely, I would imagine. I mean, NFL has to be watching MLB fairly closely because they need to adjust, unless their plan is to just power through. And maybe that's their only choice if they want to have a season at this point. But it'd be a shame if they squandered all that time as well. 855-212-4227, 855-212-4227. How worried are you about the Major League Baseball season? What does it make you think for the NFL? Let's go to Ryan in Virginia. Ryan, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, you guys with me?
Yep, got you.
Hey, yeah, man, so obviously, you know, I'm an Arlington guy, I'm a huge Nats fan, and we're only, what, five games into the season, and these dudes seem like they're starting to catch their groove, and now they're on a four-day break because the Marlins are out of commission. I mean, say what you want, whether it's the right thing or not, but that's a whole new factor in this game. They could come back and be ice cold, and that's what's going to seem to be continuing to happen around the league. I mean, you got games being canceled left and right. Like, how are these guys ever going to get into a rhythm if this is what's going to be happening on what seems to be a weekly basis? Like, it's just impossible to get into a rhythm.
Well, I mean, yeah, the competitive aspects of it are something that are going to have to come into play. You know, I would say for the most part, you have to deal with the circumstances. But at some point, you know, like, again, we're on the sliding scale of when do the circumstances get out of control? When does it impact competitive balance? And then, of course, when does it impact the remainder of the season? But I guess as a Nationals fan, you know, coming off a World Series, you feel a little bummed about it, right? Because it feels like your team didn't do anything to have this happen.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's obviously a big factor, and I guess we'll find out on Tuesday whether this is going to be a big deal or not. But this is we're only five games in, and it already seems like there's mayhem across the country. I mean, once the NFL is back, how is that going to be any different? You're talking about BMI in baseball. I mean, BMI in football is just like the
I was talking about football. Yeah.
You're right. Sorry, I missed you on that part. But yeah, I mean, all those necessary comorbidities. I mean, you got to be watching these guys under an eyeglass. You know, whether they're healthy. I mean, these guys are top of line athletes, but this can definitely get out of hand for them very, very quickly. I don't know, man. It's just so weird, and there's so many different conversations as to what's the right thing and what's the wrong thing. Obviously, all the sports fans want our sports back. But it's just weird, man. It's so weird.
It is, no doubt about it, and I appreciate the call. I mean, surreal even, right? It's very real, but it still sometimes feels surreal. And I think in the back of a lot of sports fans' minds, they are worried about the NFL, wondering what the NFL is going to do. You know, the NFL still has some lead time. The NFL has almost unlimited resources given, you know, the power of that league, the influence of that league, the finances of that league. So we'll see how they react. Again, it would be a shame to see them squander this time period and the chance that they've had here. Are you worried about the Major League Baseball season? How concerned does it make you for the NFL? 855-212-4227, 855-212-4227. You know, before I move on, the other situation in baseball this week, I want to touch on quickly because I think MLB should thank Joe Kelly because during that time period, Joe Kelly put the light on the Astros again, the spotlight, that is, on the Astros again. And for Major League Baseball, you got to be happy if anybody's talking about anything other than what's currently going on with your sport, right? And the state of the sport hanging in the balance. But Joe Kelly throws at Bregman or behind Bregman. He'll say he didn't do it on purpose. Hard for me to believe, especially considering all of his histrionics on the mound. He's like jawing with Correa. And it was a super entertaining moment. I enjoyed it, right? Like, I enjoyed it because it felt nostalgic. It felt like, hey, this is, yeah, I remember this. This is a baseball game. This is a baseball squabble. Oh, yeah, the Astros, they're cheaters. You know, like, it just felt normal for a second. And it was entertaining to watch. Now, I actually don't disagree with the suspension of Kelly, the 8-game suspension. I know a lot of people do because they feel like he was doling out the justice that the Astros did not receive. But here's the thing. I've been against throwing at guys for a long time, and my argument has always been that there should be harsher suspensions for throwing at guys. So I can't then change that opinion simply because I, you know, enjoyed that moment and simply because the Astros weren't punished. I mean, those are two separate things, right? Rob Manfred might have done a poor job handling the Astros situation where it feels like the players got off completely scot-free. At the same time, you shouldn't be allowed to throw at guys. I mean, a 90-something mile-per-hour fastball near someone's head is a dangerous thing. Luckily, nothing bad happened, and it was amusing and entertaining, and like I said, I enjoyed it. That's still a dangerous thing. So I actually don't disagree with the suspension because I can't change my opinion on the suspension whether I like or dislike whoever was being thrown at. If I believe that throwing at people is wrong and throwing at people deserves a harsh suspension, I have to believe that regardless of who is being thrown at or the reasons or anything like that. Because I don't think there's anything that happens within the parameters of a baseball game that warrants throwing a hard object at a high speed at a stationary human target. I mean, look what happened to Tanaka. I mean, luckily he was okay. But that liner he took off his dome was scary, right? And Bregman moves in the wrong direction. That pitch comes out a little wrong. And all of a sudden, you're dealing with a potentially scary and dangerous situation. So if you're running a sport, you just can't allow that. And how do you police that? How do you keep that under control? Well, you react in a swift and harsh manner. You know, I would create a uniform rule about throwing at guys and just make that happen every time. That's, I think, the best way to enforce it, no matter what. Here's the suspension. Take it. If you want to throw it, guys, this is what you're going to get. Now, that doesn't mean I'm saying that the Astros shouldn't be hated or that sports hate is bad or that, you know, they didn't or that they got the proper justice. Because, again, that's why I think Kelly became a cult hero. You know, people feel as if proper justice was not served when it comes to the Astros. Let's go to Andrew in Massachusetts. Andrew, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's going on, Andrew?
Hey, what's up, buddy? How you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
I'm doing well.
I just want to say I think the NFL will probably go off to a good start because, I mean, if you've seen the MLS, you know, they played almost 50 games and, you know, they have probably, I mean, they got 11 people on the field at a time, but, you know, they're touching each other, hitting each other, you know, scratching around and nobody.
But the MLS is in a bubble.
Yes, they're in a bubble, but as soon as this tournament's over, they're going to a full season.
Well, so how's that being played? I'm not even familiar where, but you can't. Point is, you can't use what's happening in a bubble as a comparison for something that's going to happen outside of a bubble.
Yeah, true. But they're able to play, you know, on a field and not have to worry about, you know, everything that's going on.
But that's because they're in a bubble. I mean, like, that's the problem the NFL's facing. They're not, as of yet, unless something changes. That's the problem in MLB right now. I mean, the whole purpose of a bubble is you are creating a controlled environment where the virus does not enter. So, therefore, the virus does not spread. Well, look, I'm sure that was dumped in the you know, sports talk radio, you can't say certain things, and therefore we have this magic button that makes it go away. But you were saying that the Major League Baseball players don't take this seriously, essentially, and that very well may be true. You know, look, the culture of baseball is different than the culture of other sports. And if you are using the makeup and the demographics of that sport and comparing it with the, you know, makeup of demographics of certain places in the country, maybe that's, you know, there's a lot of commonality and just like, whatever, who cares? And that's the kind of thing that'll get the season canceled. Whether you want to believe whatever, who cares, that's your own prerogative, right? I mean, I can't condone not being courteous to others. And the shared response, I keep going back to shared responsibility. We all have a shared responsibility in this to squash this in general, not just for our friends, our family, our neighbors, for the rest of the country, for the rest of the world. Right? We can't even leave America right now because we can't go to the rest of the world because they're like, stay away. Don't infect us. You know, so there's a shared responsibility in that way. What you do with your own life individually is up to you. But I can't condone if you're behaving in a way that is risking it for everybody else. But if your overall perception is, you know, I'm not too worried about this, that's fine. That's fine. But if that's your perception and your perspective and you're behaving as such as a Major League Baseball player, you are threatening the season, period. You're a part of threatening the season. You have to take it seriously. You have to have a shared responsibility. 855-212-4227, 855-212-4227. I want to remind you, next weekend on CBS, the best golfers in the world head west for the season's first major. Will Brooks Koepka take home his third consecutive Wanamaker Trophy, or will someone else step up to take their place in history? The PGA Championship is live August 8th and 9th on CBS. You know, there's another topic of conversation around standing or kneeling for the national anthem. I'll get to that coming up. I just don't think it really gets us anywhere. It's the Robin Lundberg Show, and it's here on CBS Sports Radio.
Short on sleep and long on opinions, he's Robin Lundberg.
It is the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio. You can join in, 855-212-4227, 855-212-4227. Be like Brady in Windsor, Ontario. Brady, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio.
Oh, good morning, Robin. Great show as always. Now, obviously, it's no surprise that Manfred botched this pandemic response as well as his handling of the Houston cheating situation because he just simply doesn't realize or care about the whole baseball has on us baseball fans. For example, a half century ago today, I remember watching the Saturday game of the week and seeing the late great Willie Stargell hit two homers and three doubles for five extra base hits and drive in six runs to see the Pirates beat the Braves 20-10. I know Henry Aaron hit two home runs in that game. I remember the pitcher off whom Stargell got the last of his five extra base hits. Then 2 years later, writing on August 1st, 72, I remember Nate Colbert hitting five homers and driving in 13 runs in the doubleheader to set a record Stan Musial set. Then 2 years after that, I remember the Tigers, Ron LaFleur's Major League debut. Now, I was 17, 19, and 21, respectively, for those three events, and I'm 67 now. And while I know that every other sport has its rabid fans, I mean, there's a romance and magic to baseball, especially being the summer sport that these other sports don't have, even though, you know, I recognize baseball's shortcomings and, you know, some of the hypocrisy about baseball. And as far as Joe Kelly's concerned, I think he probably should have been suspended four games, not eight. I'm not a fan of throwing at people's heads. We're out coming up to the 53rd anniversary of Tony Conigliaro's promising career being short-circuited by Jack Hamilton's beanball, you know, that ended his career and then perhaps even his life but at age 45. But, yeah, he if you wanted to hit a career, he should have hit him in the butt. That's what I think. And thanks for putting me on, Robin. Great show as always.
You got it. Look, I don't think you should hit anybody anywhere. Obviously, anywhere but the head is preferable. But I don't think you should be I just don't understand why that's accepted in baseball. I never understood that. I mean, and it seems worse when it's like because of someone admiring their home run. Then you just seem like a giant baby with emotional issues to throw at somebody. In this case, I guess people will say it's more justified, and I understand that. It's the justice that was being served to the Astros that was not served by Major League Baseball. But if my stance is it's not okay to throw at guys, I can't just change that based on whether I like the person getting thrown at or the actions of the people getting thrown at. Let's go to Sam in Canton, Ohio. Sam, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Sam?
Hey, Robin. Robin, your comments regarding Major League Baseball. Mm-hmm. You there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm listening.
Okay. Your comments regarding Major League Baseball and whether or not the players are taking it as seriously as they should, the protocols that are put in place to prevent the spread of COVID virus and to be able to get this season in. And I can't help but harken back here to earlier this week when it came out about what happened with Lou Williams in the NBA. And I have to admit, Robin, that I was incensed to the nth degree over what happened when I heard that here, you know, they go to such great lengths to put in these protocols and make it about as ironclad as possible to protect the players and to protect the season. And then to have one selfish individual who'd thought of no one but himself, you know, being found in a strip club. And as far as I'm concerned, that guy should have been suspended, not just for the balance of this year, but for the balance of next year, for what I would call an act so reprehensible, so selfish, and so irresponsible that it lacks all description. And what I'm seeing in baseball is that there seems to be a similar attitude of indifference among the players, at least not all the players, certainly, but about among a number of players, that they simply are not going to conform to these protocols. And, you know, where this can be found and where they can find who's involved in these things, I think the suspensions and the punishments should be really, really harsh. That's all I wanted to say.
Well, and thanks for the call. Here's like the thing. I mean, and this is where the difference between the NBA and MLB comes in. I wouldn't be as harsh as you were on Lou Will. Obviously, I think when I keep coming back to shared responsibility, he could have used better judgment in that moment, even if he really likes the chicken wings at Magic City. Apparently, you know, according to latest reports, he went in, ordered, and then waited for his order and maybe partook in some of the amenities while he was waiting for his order. But, you know, that's the whole point of what the NBA is doing. They found out about it, and he has to go through 10 days of quarantine. You know, Zion was gone. And some of the other guys are gone. I think it's 4 days, right, if they're testing negative the whole time and that the league deems their activity not high risk. So it's 4 days. But nevertheless, point is, those things are in place. There's no way around them. You cross the threshold to get the delivery food right away. Boom, dude was put in the quarantine period. And that's how you make sure that people are following it and make sure that it doesn't get in there, because it's not just like protocols. It's not just like, hey, please wash your hands. which seems like a lot of what Major League Baseball has. Please stay away from each other. Please wash your hands. These are the hard, steadfast rules. It doesn't matter who you are. Here's what's going to happen. And that's what's helped kept that bubble environment secure so far. Yeah, I would agree on the mentality it seems like some baseball players have had, especially if the stories about the Marlins going to the bar are true or whatnot. It's just like you already were starting with long odds. Let's be honest. The way they're trying to do it and with the rates and travel and all that. So you're basically attempting to make it impossible if you're not going to take it seriously. As far as protocols, that's why there's a difference between protocols and policies, protocols and rules, right? You know, and I don't know if following those will necessarily make sure it happens, but of course you should follow what is in place. Of course. 855-212-4227, 855-212-4227. All right. I mentioned I'd get to the latest, I don't know if it's a controversy, what you want to call it, around kneeling or not when it comes to the national anthem and demonstrations in sports. I'll do that coming up next. But, you know, I want to make a specific point about it as well.
Robin Lundberg, and he's on CBS Sports Radio. Take it away, Robin.
Clayton in Tampa Bay. Clayton, you're on the Robin Lundberg Show on CBS Sports Radio. What's going on?
Hi, Robin. Good morning to you from down here in sunny Tampa. I just have two questions that I wanted to ask you regarding the NBA and their social justice stance. And the first one is, do you feel that the NBA stance on social justice here in America is hypocritical, given the fact that they've taken the opposite stance with regards to their biggest partner, China, which is a totalitarian regime?
Who is they?
The NBA.
As a whole?
As a whole, as well as the faces of the NBA who are very vocal about political.
Like who? Give me an example of what someone has said.
Well, they haven't said anything. So they've been
Some people have. I mean, Daryl Morey sent out a tweet, and Adam Silver did not punish him, said he could send that tweet out, right? I mean, that's what started the whole thing.
No, I get that. But, I mean, you get what I'm saying in terms of the NBA has kind of wrapped themselves in the social justice stance here in America. They're very critical, but their biggest trading partner outside of the U.S. is essentially...
What kind of phone are you calling me on?
Oh, I'm calling you on a Samsung. Sorry, is it breaking up?
No. I was going to say, if it was an iPhone, then, I mean, it would be that, you know, iPhones are manufactured in China, right? Like, my point is, that's a whole can of worms to open up. I don't think it's hypocritical. No, absolutely, I don't think it's hypocritical. One, when you say they, the NBA, you're painting such a broad brush to assume that every NBA player is thinking and feeling exactly the same way. Second, I feel like the China thing is now being used as a new, like, what about Chicago or black-on-black crime to defer or move away from the conversation at hand that the NBA players are presenting. Look, obviously... there are some reprehensible things taking place in China right now. In fact, there was a report from ESPN this week about an academy that was associated with the NBA in China where there was abuse of young players by coaches. The NBA has since shut that academy down and is reevaluating that whole thing. It wasn't the NBA running it, but their name was on it, right? But, you know, the fact that LeBron James said, for instance, that he was not as informed or did not feel as comfortable speaking on China does not mean he can't have an opinion on what's happening in this country. And that's the first part about it. They're talking about their personal experiences, their personal lives, and actions that are taking place in this country. Because for all the people that are saying, like, what about China, what are those people doing about China? You know, like, what action are these people who all of a sudden think they care so much about China, what have they taken about China in the past? Are they still using their iPhones? are they still watching Disney movies, which are marketed through China? You know, like, so it just feels to me like a way to deflect from the message that they're trying to send out to say, what about China?
And I completely understand what you're saying. I do have an iPhone and as well. And I have worked in China, being in the import business. I used to sell to the Walmarts and Targets of the world. So it's not that I'm saying that you can't, it's to deflect. I'm just saying that it can be viewed if you're going to, so there's a lot of corporations from America that are in China, entrenched there, just like the NBA, but they haven't taken on this social justice brand and stance as the NBA has. So it can be viewed as hypocritical. I do respect what you're saying, though. My other question is, and I'll hang up and listen,
sure,
is what, if you are being advised, if the NBA came to you and said, hey, Robin, what should we do going forward from a PR standpoint as our biggest trading partner outside of America is China, and as tensions rise there, not only with the U.S., but with other democratic countries in the region, and more comes out about them, and that we're here in America promoting social justice, what would you advise them to, how to start handling that as they start to get peppered with more questions about China and their stance and so on?
Look, you were more mature about that than I expected when you first brought up China. I appreciate the call. Look, I'm not qualified. I don't run a business like that, but they're already dealing with it. And so when you bring up China, again, you have to bring up all these companies then. Like, it's not the NBA. All these companies are in bed with China. So we're going to have to then ask them all to get out of China. And that's fine. That's fine. But we can't pretend people are all of a sudden global experts on business relationships in China and what's going on in China. The reason players are taking a social justice stance on what they're taking a social justice stance is it's happening in America, the country they live in. The country they live in, it's happening to people to fellow black people, many of the NBA. That doesn't mean you shouldn't care about all people, which I do, of course. I don't want human rights abuses to happen anywhere, right? Like, duh. But we're talking about what is in our world as far as the what we're living, where we live on a day-to-day basis. Now, the NBA is already dealing with the fallout in China. They lost a ton of money over what happened in China. A ton. You think that the NBA was kowtowing to China so much? Then why did China pull all their stuff off TV? China got upset about the way the NBA handled it because Adam Silver said, look, I'm not going to punish Daryl Morey. The reason that was a difficult spot at that time is that the NBA was in China playing there at the time. And if you're saying what you're saying about China and saying it's true, then, I mean, I think that's what LeBron was trying to say at the time. Like, think about it. We're over there. You're putting us in a bad spot at that moment. Now, reevaluating the entire relationship with China, I'm fine with them doing that. And I'm positive they are already in the midst of doing that. I just feel like whenever anybody brings up the China thing, it's totally disingenuous. Because the people who are bringing it up aren't doing anything about China. They never cared about China before. All of a sudden, they just care about China because they don't want people to say Black Lives Matter. And again, if you're doing it from an iPhone, you're kind of being a hypocrite immediately off the bat. If you're watching a Disney movie, you're kind of being a hypocrite immediately off the bat. Because those companies are working, you know, embedded in China too. If you're wearing Nike, you're kind of being a hypocrite immediately off the bat. Because why aren't you talking about those companies? And so many of the people that, you know, including, I forget what his typical, the guy who Adrian Wojnarowski emailed, so many of those people are the same people who say, I don't want politics in sports. Why are politics in sports? Is it Uchiwali or is it One Mike? Like, which one do you want? If you don't want politics in sports, then why all of a sudden you want everybody talking about China? Why? To me, it's just a way to deflect. That doesn't mean there isn't complete validity to being against what is taking place in China. That doesn't mean that businesses shouldn't reevaluate their relationship with China and wonder, oh, are we prioritizing money over human rights? Those are like real issues. But to make it all about the NBA and NBA players is, I think, disingenuous and just a way to it's a form of whataboutism. It's like, you know, like I said, when people say, what about black and black crime or what about Chicago? It doesn't change that this is a separate issue that they're dealing with here in America. Now, as far as the stance that NBA players are taking, I thought the demonstration on opening night was beautiful. Whatever you think about the anthem and whatever it means to you, I just thought it was well done. You know, show of unity, peaceful, tasteful, the Black Lives Matter shirt, and I think it was beautiful, like I said, and clearly sent a unified message across the NBA. But since then, you've had one player, I believe, the first player to stand during the anthem was Jonathan Isaac of the Magic. There are a couple of people in general. I think Becky Hammon and Greg Popovich were both standing for the Spurs yesterday. Now, everybody knows what Greg Popovich is about, so I don't think people can doubt his intentions. And this is where I think we run into rough territory, because Isaac was kind of grilled after the game for why he stood and why he didn't wear a Black Lives Matter shirt. And he said it was about his religion. I didn't really understand his answers, to be honest. He was asked what religion has to do with kneeling during the anthem and Black Lives Matter. And I really didn't understand his answers. But I don't think it's worth this, like, reaction to who stands or who doesn't and whatnot. I just don't think that accomplishes anything or gets anywhere. Right, you're allowed to feel the way you feel about the national anthem and do what you want to do during the national anthem. I mean, I think just as the reaction was wildly inappropriate, wildly hateful even to a degree when this all started and people first started kneeling, Kaepernick kneeled and so on and so forth, to this point, don't flip and do the inverse at this. It's going to take away from the issues at hand. Because if all of a sudden the arguments start to get to who's standing and who's not, that's not holding police accountable for police brutality. That's not making changes to the criminal justice system. That's not, you know, continuing to make sure that we're fighting for, you know, equal treatment of everybody here. It just a side fight that accomplishes nothing. All right, dude wants to stand for the anthem. Dude can stand for the anthem. Again, I didn't even understand what he was saying. I don't understand. But he's got his reasons. He can stand for the anthem. You know, Greg Popovich, obviously, like I said, we know what Greg Popovich is about. I'm guessing it's his military record that plays in part for why he's standing. But he's shown himself to be an ally and supporter and concerned for people of all creed. So I think we get into a weird territory when we're starting to demand that everybody kneels or point out everybody who doesn't. I thought that the NBA demonstration was beautiful. I think they'll continue to be beautiful. I am obviously 100% anybody who knows me in full support of the message that they're putting forth. I just don't think it's worth starting separate controversies and getting back into that you know, a national anthem kneeling or standing debate, which is like a warped version of the Jordan-LeBron debate. You know, the Jordan-LeBron debate, I'll have it anytime. I love having it. LeBron James, the best player ever, by the way. I love having that debate. It's fun. But ultimately, you generally get nowhere, right? Because, like, the Jordan people are going to say Jordan, LeBron people are going to say LeBron, and just going to fight back and forth over the same things. But that's trivial, right? It doesn't matter. This is about an important issue. And people just go back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. They've been doing it for years. So I'm just, I have no energy left to debate the merits of standing or kneeling for the national anthem. We already know what kneeling was about. We already know that kneeling was a peaceful protest against police brutality and racial inequality, racism. And I've always been in support of it. And if guys want to kneel now, fine. If guys don't want to kneel now, fine. I'd much rather have the conversations about the real issues than circle back to those conversations that get us nowhere. Even if I didn't understand Jonathan Isaac's explanation, he doesn't really have to explain himself to me. And it seems like he doesn't have to explain himself to his fellow teammates who were okay with it. Greg Popovich's explanation was fine with me. We know what he's about. So I just feel like it's counterproductive to then dive into every single person who doesn't stand or doesn't kneel and make it the inverse of what happened before. 855-212-4227, 855-212-4227. Let's go to Will in Alabama. Will, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, Robin, thanks for taking my call. I just want to make a quick point. You bring up Popovich, and like Popovich, I've served over 20 years in the military. If people want to kneel, that's fine. Contrast that with the player that you were talking about who stood, right? Who cares what his reason was? I really don't care. I would rather hear somebody who stands and says, you know what, I'm bucking the groupthink. Because that, my friend, what you have described in the last couple minutes, it's all groupthink. I want people like the NBA player who stood and says, I don't have to give you an answer. Hey, I never served in the military. Hey, it's a religious thing. He doesn't have to say anything. I want to hear somebody stand up and say, I don't want the groupthink to happen in this country. Because it doesn't look great, I'll be honest with you. But anyway, just want to give you my two cents. Love the show. I'll hang up now, but thank you.
Look, I don't... As a group, we should be thinking Black Lives Matter, right? As a group, we should be pushing for equality across the board. But that doesn't mean it has to be done through kneeling during the national anthem. I mean, we've seen that was about raising awareness. What are the actions that are now being taken place? Again, I thought that the demonstration by NBA players was beautiful, well done, tasteful. I'm in full support. But I just don't think it accomplishes anything to point out the people who are standing up and say, look at that guy. What are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing? How is that helping? Robin Lundberg Show, CBS Sports Radio.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.